Audacity.
Violent crime leads to homicides in St. Lucia, Trinidad, and Dominica. Those developments and other regional stories in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards. St. Lucia's homicide toll this week shot up to 13 following a double homicide on Independence Night. A third victim, who was said to have been stabbed about the body, was said to be fighting for his life in hospital. This report from HGS News Force of the ongoing violent crime that keeps on claiming lives in St. Lucia.
There is too much crime in St. Lucia now. Too much crime. And the thing about it, the people that are doing the crime, they in our mix.
The community of Lator Castries was awakened to the ghastly discovery of two people shot dead and a third victim allegedly stabbed 11 times, struggling for his life at hospital.
Right now, they're wrong here, not safe.
Residents recalled hearing the sound of gunshots piercing the still of the night sky, but no one dared venture outside. At the first blush of light, two homicide victims, a man and woman, were found bound and gagged, their bodies drenched in blood, with a third victim wailing in excruciating pain from the multiple stab wounds that perforated his body.
Everybody around here said they had four shots about 12 o'clock.
At the time of the filing of this report, police had not positively identified the homicide victims. However, the residents who gathered near the crime scene had a hunch, with one woman fearing the worst, given the conspicuous absence of a beloved family member identified only as Baby.
And then I hear like the people die, but right now the hen is my cousin, because Baby is my cousin, and the one they chop also beggars is my cousin. So I don't know what's going on. Until I really know, then I will know his Baby, then I will know his beggars, but I don't know for now.
What you know about them? Tell us about them.
Well, Baby have a car by the road there, and I know early morning like that Baby not yet leave his home, because his car has always been underneath the garage, and he's selling up there by the tourist ring there, he does be selling there. So. Beggars, well, beggars drinking his little rum. Beggars always around the place. Early morning, he come in, he watching his brother car, throwing his rubbish and going back home. I know that for a fact.
The nightmarish ordeal has left residents unnerved regarding their personal safety in the community, with cold-blooded killers still at large and a system seemingly unable to bring them to justice.
They in our mix. You understand? They in our mix, and we don't know who doing it. Too much killing.
The matter remains shrouded in mystery. Police have launched a probe into this latest double homicide, which has vaulted the homicide toll to 13. Solange Alfred, HTS News Force.
In Trinidad and Tobago, three people, including the homeowner, were killed during a shootout involving bandits in the upscale West Mooring area on Thursday morning. Three bandits had attempted to storm the house but were met by armed resistance, leading to the exchange of gunfire. Police said of the three people killed, one is Nicole Moses, who resided at the house with her brother and mother. Media reports said that Nicole was in the process of taking her nephew to school when the gunmen attacked, with her brother, a licensed firearm holder, engaging them in the shootout. Nicole was shot in the shoulder and chest during the crossfire and died later at hospital. Police said two of the attackers died at the scene and a third is now under police guard at hospital.
Nicole is now leaving her home to carry her nephews to school. She noticed the two guys in the yard. She bundled up her two nephews and pushed them inside. And while she was running back inside, one of the guys shot her. So it's like blatant, you know, disregard for life. And then the brother came out, Nicole's brother came out, who's also a firearm user, shot the two guys. They rushed her to hospital. By the time she reached the St. James Infirmary, she passed away.
The death of a Chinese businessman in Dominica following an incident in the Marigot community has prompted the Chinese embassy on the island to call on the police and government to continue protecting Chinese nationals living in Dominica. Roy Sanford has been following that story.
We hope the government and police of Dominica will continue to protect the safety of Chinese nationals here. News portal Dominica News Online quoted the Chinese embassy official as saying. The dead man has been identified by sources as Zhang Xiaopeng, who owns a business in Marigot. On February 22nd, video surfaced on social media of Xiaopeng bleeding profusely from what appeared to be a massive wound to his head. He died at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital. There has been no official report on the matter. However, sources say several persons have been taken into custody to assist in an investigation launched by the police. The Chinese embassy said it is placing great emphasis on the matter and is following it very closely, according to Dominica News Online.
Antiguan authorities say they are working assiduously to address a string of school break-ins over the past few weeks. They are worried that the incidents are having a negative impact on the education system. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused a significant disruption to schools over the past few years, but now education officials say recent school break-ins and vandalism are compounding learning challenges. Here's ABS News with this report.
The Clay House Secondary School is one of the institutions the perpetrators have targeted in the string of break-ins. I spoke with Principal Ashwood Azeel, who tells me it has impacted the school in more ways than one.
Over the last 3.5 weeks, we've experienced three break-ins which really have resulted in tremendous loss to the school, both in terms of material resources, in terms of lost learning time and so forth.
He says the vandals have taken computers, projectors and other vital teaching tools. Azeel represented principals at a stakeholder meeting this week discussing ways to address the issue. He says Otters Comprehensive School has also come under attack from vandals.
Where you had human excrement being left, in classrooms and so forth. That certainly is barbaric and by any measure reeks of just pure callous disregard for the value of education.
He says these incidents further retard learning for students already faced with challenges from the pandemic.
That every time a school has to stop for a day, a half a day, to clean, sanitize, restore their classrooms to an operational state, restore their staff rooms and administrative areas to an operational state. Those are hours that we are taking away from students learning.
This week's meeting included education ministry officials, teacher union members, and representatives from Public Works, the division which handles school security.
We are looking for some concrete plans, and they have committed to ensuring that there is some concrete plans in place that can be communicated to us by the end of this week.
Public Works Head of Security Robert Martin says they are considering several interventions, including electronic monitoring and improved lighting at school plants. Jamie J. O'Shea, ABS News.
The brother of Dominica's opposition leader has been charged with incitement to commit treason. With more on this, here's Roy Sanford.
Brian Linton appeared in a magistrate's court in Roseau on Thursday, February 24, 2022, where the charge was read to him. It stemmed from comments he allegedly made on local radio station Q95 FM on October 13, 2020, hosted by talk show host Matt Pelty on his program Talk on the Block. He did not enter a plea, since the matter is an indictable one to be tried before a judge and jury at the High Court. Opposition leader Lennox Linton said on his official Facebook page that his brother was arrested at his home in Marigot on Wednesday, February 23rd, at around 6 in the morning, by police who he said was heavily armed. He was brought to police headquarters in Roseau for questioning. Local online portal Nature Isle News is reporting that the matter has been stood down to give Linton's defense team time to address the court on bail, since the state is not objecting to it.
The minimum wage in Jamaica will increase from $7,000 to $9,000 effective April 1st. Labour and Social Security Minister Carl Samuda made the announcement this week. This is the first increase in nearly 4 years, as the minister says COVID-19 affected their plans for the increase in 2020. He is urging employers to use this rate as the base level and to pay employees more if they can, as CVM News reports.
Labor Minister Carlos Zamuda has announced a 28.5% increase in minimum wage, pushing the rate from $7,000 to $9,000 for a 40-hour work week. Security guards will also benefit from the increase, raising their wage from $9,700 to $10,500 for the same work period. Zamuda made the announcement at a media briefing on Tuesday after calls for an increase resurfaced, especially given that there's been over a 6% rate of inflation. He says the move has been pending since 2020, but had to be placed on the back burner due to COVID-19. Still, he's urging employees to view this new rate as merely the starting wage, as opposed to the benchmark by which employees should be paid.
Here's this report now from Guyana News Source about cocaine in fried rice accused remanded.
Let's tell you now that a 28-year-old man who was arrested at the Chedi-Jagan Airport after more than 6 pounds of cocaine was found in a bowl of fried rice in his suitcase has been remanded to prison on the drug trafficking charge. Burmese resident Esmond Jermaine Anderson appeared at the Diamond Magistrates Court on Monday to answer the charge of trafficking narcotics. He pleaded not guilty to the charge and was remanded to jail until the 8th of March, when the matter will continue. The court was told that the accused was preparing to board a New York-bound flight when a search by KANU ranks unearthed a bowl of fried rice in his suitcase that appeared extra heavy. A search of the bowl found the cocaine in a pack smuggled onto the fried rice. Anderson was arrested and brought to the city, where he was told of the offense. The Customs Anti-Narcotics Unit said the cocaine found in the bowl of fried rice carried a street value of more than 17 million Guyana dollars.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, 25th February. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.